Heard you on the radio today. I was driving my daughter.
Which radio?
You're on 3AW on Tuesday mornings.
I've just come live from there.
Yeah, yes. If people want to tune in, if you're in Melbourne or if you're in interstate on the web. Anyway, it's good because you get on with Ross Stevenson and Russell Howcroft.
Slice of life.
My daughter always says, "Oh, we're going to listen to the old guys." That's what she calls. She's a teenager.
But what do you mean the old guys? Well, you're an old guy.
Yeah, but
I'm an old guy.
But I'm not as old as Ross, even though.
No, Ross is probably younger than me.
Russell is exactly my age.
What? Which is
57. And every time I see him on the TV, I'm like, kids, I'm that bloke's age. Oh, he looks a lot older than you, Dad. That's why I've always loved Russell Howcroft, because he looks older than me.
I get worried when they talk about people that are, you know, a man today, 50-year-old man. That's such a long time ago for me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm more your nursing home type of reference.
Well, Kieran pointed out that I'm closer to 60 than I am to 50. Thanks for that.
But anyway.
Whatever.
We'll be dead soon. And these will be archived at the Sound and Something Library up in Canberra.
It's all relative.
Because we're no longer around, I reckon. But I'll probably go first.
Nah, you're pretty fit. You're pretty fit. But anyway, you're talking about
I might be shot, like in a drive-by or something.
Oh, you could be shot. You live in the mean streets of Bayside, Melbourne.
Yeah. I just came through a part of Melbourne, and there was a guy talking very loudly on the phone. It was a part of Melbourne where you see gangsters.
Gangsters.
And he was talking very loud on the phone, and I thought, that guy's he's making a gangster call, because he was using loud, rude language. I said, don't turn around. I don't want any part of this. Hope they don't come. Anyway.
Was he in his car, and you could hear
He was standing with other guys who had a lot of jewellery on and black t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, classic. Yeah. Oh, there's a fucking guy, Glenn Robbins, mate. Is there a hit out on him? I don't know. We'll check. But anyway, you're talking about when you're speaking to your friend who...
Friend who lives in Paris, and I've never been to Paris, and she was saying that I wish I could go to Paris again for the first time. And then we
You've never been?
I've never been.
You've never been. Wow.
Oh, I was in London and I thought, I'll just. And I had a couple of days. I went, I'll just jump on the train. And for some reason, I didn't do it because I don't speak French, probably. And so I haven't. So there's the thing. There's something. There's the thing to do that I haven't done.
Yeah. And she said it will take your breath away. Oh, well, I mean, who knows? People have different experiences in different places. Like, you know, one of the guys in the radio was saying, giving examples, the Sistine Chapel takes your breath away. I've been there. It didn't for me.
No, it didn't take... No. Are there places in the world that take your breath away?
You know what? They took cash away from me, the Sistine Chapel. Yes. Yeah, well, you know what? I was thinking... Venice will take your breath away.
That's what Selena was saying.
Yeah, Venice will take your breath away.
Buildings on a bit of water.
No, it's still... I mean, I know that, and I know it's touristy, but when you first see it, you're like, that is amazing. It's amazing.
You see a gondola. Cliched!
No, it's good.
You're cliched.
Also, the Colosseum will take your breath away. Yeah, the Colosseum. I saw Russell Crowe.
Yeah, he's been there taking the kids around.
Yeah, he goes showing the kids where Dad used to work.
I should have gone inside. I didn't go. I saw it from there.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I thought Stonehenge was amazing.
But it wasn't.
It's
a roundabout, isn't it?
No, it's in between two freeways, whatever. I thought Stonehenge was amazing when I saw it. Then again, you know what I saw, like, maybe 8 years ago, which I hadn't really seen before, the Grampians. Because they're volcanic.
I've never seen the Grampians. Oh, have I? I
don't, yeah, you would have seen the Grampians. They're beyond Colac, before Warrnambool.
Yeah, Hamilton.
When they first saw them, went, Jesus, what is that? Because they're volcanic mountains.
Yeah, it's probably a tectonic plate.
Yeah, oh, there
tectonic.
We go.
Tectonic?
There we go.
Well, that, but, like the same as the McDonald's Ranges? What are the ones up through...
I thought you were going to say the same as the McDonald's burger.
Very similar to
First time I saw Ronald McDonald in a restaurant, it just took my breath away.
I had a McPlant the other day, did I tell you?
You had a McPlant burger?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Wasn't bad.
Well, there we go.
I mean, we're not being paid, and it was all right. No. I mean, it didn't upset my stomach.
No, that's good.
You know, if a McDonald's doesn't upset your stomach, then they're doing all right.
Do you have any chips?
Had some chips, yeah.
Yeah.
The
fries are good.
I don't know whether they are. Chip guy.
Oh, you like the fatter chip.
And fries are never fat.
No.
I'm old-fashioned. But they're going up in price because potatoes are getting hard. Anyway, things that took your breath away. Is that what you wanted to talk about?
Yeah.
Have you got others?
No. That was it. The Grampians, Venice, the Colosseum. I could think of some more,
Ayers Rock.
I haven't been to Ayers Rock. Never been.
I've been twice. As Michael Veitch said to me, nothing prepares you for the size of it because you see it in the because it's completely flat.
Oh, you know, I've said that expression before.
Oh, maybe you got it from you.
No, in a different situation.
What are you getting up to in your private life?
Listen, nothing prepares you. But it's the opposite. It's quite small.
Take your breath away. You shouldn't refer to that part of, on the other episode, you often refer to that part of yourself as being, I don't think you're doing yourself any favours. Even if it's imaginary. Like, you know, if you were to say, oh, I'm a comedian, but I'm not that funny, then people go, well, I don't want to see you.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So when you do, so if you were approached by Clio Magazine 30 years ago, would you have done a spread?
No, absolutely
not. What's the joke? Because you'd be worried where they put the
staples.
The staples,
yeah.
Oh, God, it's dad joke. We should call this podcast Dad Jokes Galore.
Well, I like your one that you said when you were a kid, what took your breath away? And it was I've got another one. Go on.
Mine was what took the full set of Derwent colouring pencils.
Still to this day, when I see the Derwent, my kids have got Derwents, I think. You know what I remember? Colour TV when I first saw that.
Oh, you're exactly right. Yeah, I went round to, was it Farrell McKay?
Alan Johnson's house.
Yeah, and we went round there after school, and he just toyed with us. The TV was in the corner, but he was going, oh, do you want a cordial? Do you want to have a game of cricket? And he goes, no, we came for one reason. You've got a colour television, and we want to watch it. It was a Rank Arena.
Ooh, Rank Arena.
Rank Arena, top shelf. And and it came on, and it with this magical, the colours just started, and you're going, I cannot believe what I'm seeing.
Incredible.
You kids, the younger audience, are just going, God, you're boring. Yeah. But to see colour for the first time, it's like your whole world change. Oh, and it was Happy Days.
Oh, wow.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days.
Tuesday, Happy Days. Fonzie.
And it was one of the things that really took my breath away, and I couldn't, you know. What else did I have? Oh, the Dragstar push bike when I saw that for the first time.
When you're flying into Sydney and you see Sydney Harbour, that's quite beautiful, I reckon.
Yep.
I reckon. I was talking to my daughter about it in the car, and she said when we went for bushwalks and we came across some waterfalls in the Otways, she said that was like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like when I came across that marijuana plantation. That took my breath away.
Make
some money, kids. Put this in your backpacks.
Now, we need to finish with a funny one to go to the music. Have you got one? Because now we're doing sort of radio stuff. Now we're being radio guys.
Okay. Give us a call, 13-2014. Yeah. What took your breath away? We've got Glenn Robbins from Bayside. Right, is it Glenn? What took your breath away, mate?
First time I had Pavlova.
I don't like Pavlova. It's too soft and too crunchy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We got Philip in Baronia. What was it, Phil? Yeah. First time... Took my breath away the first time I saw my wife. Oh, she was so beautiful. Nah, she punched me in the guts.
Play the music.
Quick.
Welcome to Somehow Related Now. Please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Anyway,
yes, of course, your radio station.
I'm not really, it's not my radio station. I'm on there occasionally now. So welcome to the podcast, everyone. It's not a radio station, and we get two topics.
But now we're turned back into podcast guys.
Yeah,
we were being radio guys then.
We've got to work out how they're related.
Two topics, how they're related.
Should we get the topics?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bill Clinton and the song Mambo Number 5.
Oh, wow, that's very specific.
Oh, it's lobbing to your forehand, though.
Oh, Mambo Number 5. In fact, I got to say, it's in one of my favourite songs.
I can't. Is it Lil?
Bump, 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 bump. I love the start. Lou Bega, who was German. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a very corny novelty song, but I really like it.
Is it Latin? Mambo?
Yeah, it's Mambo.
Mambo Number 5. Oh, what a stupid thing.
He was a German like pop singer, producer guy, and some other guy. It's actually an old song that they reconfigured and wrote new lyrics for.
What does 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 mean?
I don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's about a mother.
Is it about girlfriends?
Yeah, you can run, you can hide. Huh. A little bit, you know, a little bit of Monica in my life.
Oh, yeah, so ladies that he's dated.
Rita, as that? Yeah. Bum, bum, little bit of Jessica.
What year was it had been big?
It's 90s, 99, 98, 99. 98, 99. Boom. He still tours on those nostalgia tours.
So you listen to a whole lot of stuff and then just wait for this one.
Yeah,
to
wait
come
for the one to come. But the good thing about those nostalgia tours, often those guys come out and only do three songs.
Yeah, they do the best three.
Yeah, so he had a follow-up hit which sounded a lot like that one.
Right.
Yeah, so... but, you know, that's in the tradition of great novelty songs. Can you think of other great novelty sort of songs?
Push bike song?
Yes. Run by the Mixtures.
Yeah.
Run along on my push bike. Honey. But also the Macarena.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because they often had dance moves. Mambo No. 5 had dance moves that go with it. Because I know this because this was one of the funniest gigs I got offered. I almost wanted to do it just to see what happened. But they wanted me to come on at halftime at an AFL football match.
Yeah.
At the MCG. I think it was Essendon versus Hawthorn. Oh. Dressed as a giant credit card because it was part of a Visa or MasterCard promotion and lead the crowd in the Mambo No. 5 dance to try and break the world record.
Good luck. You said no to that gig?
I said no.
You know what? I think I'm busy that day.
I almost wanted to say yes just to turn up and go.
Just to experience
one,
that.
One, two. Come on, everybody. You know, have beer thrown at me.
Yeah.
It's a Mambo No. 5.
It's something, I hate to be racist, but I think Americans would do that better than Australians.
Yeah. That's not racist.
That's not. I mean, a positive race. Saying not that it's a bad thing or a good thing, but because when you go halftime to the baseball, they do stuff like that, and the crowd is
into it.
Oh yeah, really into it. Whereas here we're a bit into it.
Halftime, they do like I've been to the footy, and they do like mullet cam, where they just try and find the best mullet in the crowd.
That's based on kiss cam.
Yeah. And then they do unaware cam, so they try and find. You know,
someone who doesn't know they're being filmed.
Yeah, it's funny. It's always funny. But Kiss Cam was funny one time. You know, they show a guy and with his girlfriend. Oh, kiss her. And he kisses her. And then they show another young guy with a woman and he yells at her. And everyone's like yelling at kiss her. And he goes, it's me mum. It's so funny. Nutbush. Nutbush.
That's interesting because we did Nutbush in Candy Kim.
Oh, did you do the Nutbush and Kath and Kim?
Yeah. Let's not talk about Kath and Kim because my lips are sealed.
It's coming back, but it's... I mean, I might know what I've read on the internet. It's not full shows. It's like best of shows. Yeah. Anyway, that's me saying that, not you.
I'm not allowed. You're not allowed to talk. I could lose everything.
And they'll take the cow outfit off you.
Yeah, so at best
you lose your cow license.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't remember that. Did you do the Nutbush in Kevin
Yeah,
Kim?
I think, did we not do the Nutbush at Kel's 50th?
Yes.
Was that the Nutbush?
I mean, it was.
Or was that Bootscoot? Is that a line? Is Nutbush?
It's Nutbush is very similar to line dancing.
Yeah. And we also, when Kel thought Kath was
cheating,
he turned up to the pub and did Latin.
Oh, that's right, he did dance.
Latin. And the only reason I did that dance is because I was learning another dance in a dance studio, and I just had a break between shots, and they were doing that Latin dance in the next studio for real, and I thought, look, I love that hip movement. Maybe I could
use
that hip movement in the dance we've got to do later on. And that was a direct steal, so thanks to those people.
It was the other one, the bus stop. Remember the bus stop? Can't stop.
See.
Bus stop.
We've said it before. People love to dance. People love to dance in unison.
Yes.
Yep.
I remember the bus stop coming onto discos in the 70s and the 80s. The girls often knew it better than the boys.
It's tribal. I remember there used to be a dance called the stomp where all you did was you just stand there and stomp your feet on
I remember the stomp.
Everyone's doing the stomp or the limbo rock.
Remember the worm?
Yeah, everybody just got on the floor. It was pathetic, but...
Popular with young boys. Yeah, teenagers.
So, Mambo, because if we were on Spicks and Specs now, what would the question be about Mambo?
Mambo number five.
Yeah. Are there other songs with numbers in them?
Oh, that's great. There's a song called Number 3 by The Reels, but that's not famous.
What about Mozart's last movement on the piano or something? Didn't he have a bowel movement or something?
There's got to be songs with numbers in them, surely. 21 today, 21 today. But there's rock songs with numbers in them, absolutely.
People are yelling at the podcast now.
When I get older, losing my hair. When I'm 64.
That's a good one. That's probably the quintessential one.
Yeah. What do all these songs have in common? Oh, they could say, where did Lou Bega come from? Because that's weird. You think he's Cuban or something, but he's actually German. So that's an interesting fact. See,
someone like you would know that. You're good like that.
I know that.
You must be great at a dinner party.
Or boring.
Dave.
Or annoying.
Just tone it down a bit. You know. Yeah. We know you've been on Speaks of Speech 58. How many times now, by the way?
Well, there's a new series coming out.
New series that apparently they've already shown.
Already filmed. But it's coming out on August something.
Some of the episodes that are on now, though, have already been shown. Apparently it's a bit of a mix-up.
Really?
The ABC.
Really?
Yeah, someone's gone to the wrong file.
Oh, that's hilarious. No, I'm up to like...
I must be in the mid-60s. Yeah, must 60, be 64.
67, I think.
You know, not that you're counting them, but I did go around to your house and there was...
Yeah, there's a whiteboard.
Yeah, there's a whiteboard. Yeah.
I made the kids watch them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm doing a lot of just cameos and stuff. I heard my voice on an ad today on ABC Radio.
Yeah.
Saying these are Willie Nelson's actual braids, because I hold up Willie Nelson's braids.
I saw
and
that.
What do you reckon I did? See if you can predict my joke. I've got Willie Nelson's braids and I hold them up. These are actually Willie Nelson's braids. What do I do next? What sort of joke do I do? Braids? He's a big, you know.
Oh, these, he's a big smoker of the chulf.
Yeah, so I sniff him. I go, oh, he could smoke that.
Oh, see, that's good.
I think that's what I did.
Yeah, yeah. And anyway. That hopefully that stayed in, because being the ABC, they wouldn't like to refer to that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, that might have...
Are they a bit better now, are they?
I think with a drug joke, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe the editor doesn't know. Oh, that's... reminiscing about how, because people may not know this, but when you do work on TV shows, and particularly sketch shows, every sketch has to go to a lawyer who reads it to see if it's not libelous. So you're not on there saying, Glenn Robbins is a bloody murderer. Oh, hang on a minute. We can't put that to air. Yep. You know what I mean. Yep. And so, but the lawyer, when I worked on Full Frontal, he used to make comments about the sketches.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he used to go...
Past comment?
Yeah, you go, oh, this sketch with Poiter in it at the... I found this one quite funny, actually, guys. All right, so that's fine. This next one about John Howard, this could be...
slightly libelous.
Yeah, but I didn't find it funny at all.
Not funny and libelous, so that's probably no from me.
It's like, it's not your job.
Yeah.
It's not your job.
Yeah.
Anyway.
A lot of lawyers do go into comedy, though.
A lot of lawyers do. Steve Izard, Michaela, Charlie Pickering.
Tom Gleiser a lawyer?
He would have done law. I think Mick Malloy even did law, at uni. So there's quite a few lawyers.
Yeah, I did drama teaching. I bring a card to that table. And you of all,
did teaching
best of
as
all,
well.
Arts, hello.
Arts and teaching.
You pull up a big chair to the table.
Oof. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what else can we say about Mambo number 5?
It was a song and it was Mambo. And it was about...
It's a feel-good song. Have you got songs that make you feel good? You put it on, you feel good when you hear Mambo number 5. You know, my wife claims it's sleazy, which it is, because he's talking about all the women in his life.
If I got a song that I put on
to make you feel good.
Well, I remember after seeing... This is sad.
Oh, my God. Rocky! That's a great song, though. Then you run up the steps of the Brighton Town Hall.
Everyone, I'm sure people are getting the goosebumps who are listening.
Great song. Great song. Inspirational. Well, let's do Bill Clinton then.
Bill Clinton.
I can't imitate him.
No, I can't either.
So he was from the South, wasn't he? From Little Rock.
I'm trying to get... He was from Arkansas, wasn't he? Governor
Arkansas.
It was the governor of Arkansas?
Yeah.
You were Democrat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hillary? Chelsea, the daughter?
Chelsea, the daughter. Plays the saxophone.
That's right. He played the saxophone on... That was a big breakthrough for him when he played the saxophone quite well and wore sunglasses on that show with the black guy hosting. Senior Hall.
Call. Oh, yep. Politicians have breakthrough moments when they're human.
Speaking of Macarena, do you remember, wasn't a breakthrough moment when Peter Costello did the Macarena on the midday show with Kerry Ann?
I should take it back, because I remember I went on a roller coaster with who was the opposition leader that went against?
Peacock?
No.
Bill Hayden?
No. Liberal.
Nelson?
He's a commentator now, tall, quite good looking guy.
Oh, John Houston.
Yes. We put him on Tonight Live. We put him on a roller coaster. And it was just to see what would happen. And it was mocking and inappropriate. And I felt a bit sad for him.
He seems quite good in his articles.
He's a good commentator.
He would have been a good prime minister, probably.
He never got a shot, did he?
No.
He was tipped, and Keating got him? Who got him?
Maybe.
Yeah.
John Houston campaigned to bring a tax in. He campaigned for GST, which eventually got in. So that's what killed him, apparently, though.
Did Howard came before or after Houston?
After Houston.
Yeah, and he was in for a long time.
I say that with great authority, but I'm pretty sure it was after Houston.
Well, Howard brought in GST in 2000.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's I can imitate John Howard there, Glenn.
That's good.
Not really, Glenn, but I think that... Well, no, Bill Clinton. Isn't it funny, though? He became president.
42nd president.
Yeah, okay, very good. But and then his wife almost became president.
I know.
How was that? She almost beat Trump.
Yeah, she was...
How was that?
The email scandal was very well played by Trump.
And the Russians, apparently.
Yep, and bang.
But you know, could you imagine that in Australia? So who have we had? Like, you know what? Often the wives would probably make very good prime ministers. Like Jeanette Howard's wife.
Yes.
She used to listen to the radio, the talk back and stuff, and monitor people's opinions and tell John. Like, this is what you should. So she was like an advisor.
Yeah.
And look at Turnbull's wife, Lucy.
Yeah.
Lucy. She was a councillor and a mayor and a politician. She would have probably been a good prime minister.
Yeah, that
means. Lucy Turnbull.
A bit of pillow talk. Probably got some good policies through. You know? And how do you lure... No, I'm going to make a sex joke there.
Earl Clinton. I did not have sexual relations.
Well, Monica Lewinsky. Did you see that documentary on Clinton? I don't know what it was on, but gee, it's a good watch.
I follow her on Twitter. That's my connection.
It's just.
That's the thing, isn't it? You do one thing and it defines you for life.
Yep.
It's like you know who I was listening to the other day, and this is an interesting podcast for any comedy nerds. Mark Maron interviews Orny Adams, who's the guy, the comic in the Jerry Seinfeld documentary.
Yes.
Who's really annoying young guy. And he was the only guy they could find that would criticize Seinfeld's act. And so they used him.
Oh,
and
really?
That was 20 years ago. And that has defined his life, that documentary.
And he never really... But was he any good? He was all right.
Yeah, he was all right. Apparently he's not bad. But, you know, it's like that old joke, you know, you have relations with one goat and then you're the goat.
Yeah.
You can build as many buildings and be the mayor, but if you have intimate relations with a goat, you're known as the goat, whatever, of the town, you know.
It's a bit... I don't want to answer this question, but what defines you and what defines me?
Well, the goat, for me. Well, I think for you, you're defined by your landmark characters, so Cal and Russell Coit, but that's good in a way because you've got like at least three, and Uncle Arthur, you've got three that define you. Whereas me, I'm just the fat guy that's been on some TV shows.
Yeah, but your persona is much loved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
But my characters are people who are trying to look stupid.
Yeah, but that's good. You're just
so
like,
I'm a stupid guy, likable stupid.
Likable stupid, but also funny. So you're not.
Yeah, but not. They're not trying to be funny, which is good. That's the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? The measure is one of my friends went to the boxing with Steve Weiss, I don't think it was.
Yeah.
And, you know who it was? And they said, we've got so-and-so here, and this comedian stood up. I think it was Richard Stubbs, and everyone cheered, right? Yeah. And then they said, and we've got Steve Izard, and everyone booed.
Oh, that's a shame.
See, I mean...
He did a lot for comedy.
But also, prime ministers always get booed. Like, they always get booed in Perth. They always go, and Scott Morrison's in the crowd. Boo!
Yeah.
But
you never want to go to the boxing there because if you are recognisable, you will be approached by people who are
connected. But see, if you stood up, I reckon you'd get a cheer. You'd get a cheer.
But you never
Whereas someone like, say, Alan Jones stood up, everyone would boo.
Well, it's interesting that the crowds are very... What's the comedy sensibility of a crowd, Australian crowd, and a British crowd, and American crowd, is very... What's that great
Fickle?
Line?
No.
The great line. Who was one of the great fullbacks who wasn't kicking goals that day? Oh, the big one.
Tom.
The
Tom Brady.
No, the
we're talking AFL or American football.
We're talking about AFL.
He was plugger. Big,
plugger, and he wasn't playing that well.
Yeah,
and the ball wasn't even coming down the end of that ground.
Yeah,
and someone stood up and said, "Hey, plugger, I'm going to get a pie. Do you want one?
Do you want one? Yeah.
You're going, geez, you can't write it better than that, you know.
He was one of the legendary goal kickers. He's in like the top
absolutely,
five.
Absolutely.
Like
it's only on, it's a good show, the front bar. The guy, I can't remember their name. The Charman brothers.
Oh, the brothers from South Australia.
It was them.
Yeah, yeah. They were on the other night.
No, it was another guy. It was another guy.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, he was saying how scared he was of playing on. He was scared.
On plugger.
Scared. And don't do anything. Don't, because he was like a refrigerator. And when you meet those guys, they are refrigerators.
I interviewed plugger once on the radio.
How was he? A bit tough.
Oh, he was representing Yeah Yeah Hair Studio.
Yeah, not a good deal.
I thought I was going to get punched, basically.
Yeah, through the radio.
Well,
how many terms did Clinton do? Two. Did he do 8 years or 4 years?
I think he did two.
I think he did two.
Hey,
you know what is interesting? Yeah. He's one of the few left-handed presidents.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Bush, I think, was left. Bush Senior was left-handed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he, and the Lewinsky thing. We don't need to. We all know what happened. But
I did not have
sexual relations with that woman.
We should. You know who does a good Bill Clinton? Tony Martin on Sizzletown.
He does. He's the guy that cracks the code. He's the king.
We should just talk to him. It's just a good opportunity.
Yeah, but he's very hard to contact. Are you one of the few that are able to contact him? Because I
set up it's like Batman. You set up a flare, and Tony sees it.
I'm Tony needed somewhere.
It. Okay.
The great man. He's got.
He doesn't have a mobile.
Should have a statue. Tony Martin should have a statue outside the Melbourne Town Hall
somewhere
for his gift to comedy. Okay. And he's a New Zealander. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But anyway, sorry.
Let's call him. Let's call Tony because he knows how to do a good Bill Clinton. Okay. We'll try and get him to
Let's get him now.
Oh, wow. It's ringing.
Oh. Hello?
Tony, Glenn Robbins, Dave O'Neill. Don't say anything inappropriate because we are on our podcast that you know and you've very kindly plugged on your podcast.
I'm on the show.
You have the honour of being on the show. I remember when I heard my name mentioned on Sizzletown, I thought that was one of the great honours.
You've made it.
Because that is one of the iconic. There should be a Hall of Fame for podcasts. It should be Sizzletown.
Well, I think we like to claim that this podcast is sort of our sister show. I think we even claim that it's recorded in the same building.
Oh, right. Well, we're recording in a pub, so that'd be good.
Yeah,
we claim that Sizzletown is recorded in a place called Podworks in Richmond, and it's amazing how many people say, I can't find it on Google Maps.
Oh, well, I picture it, and I actually, it's the imagination of your show is I honestly go with it. And can I be honest, like everyone, the first time, you did it. I wasn't offended, but I'm going, Tony's got all these other actors. Who was he using for all these voices? Who are these unknown, sketch performers? And you went, no, it's me. I went, it is not. And you said, I think it's you under a blanket, isn't it? Do you mind saying that? Or have I said the wrong thing?
No, they are. Every one of the characters, except for Matt Dower and occasionally Pete Smith, is me. But because I just know so many people who have a podcast and they're constantly exhausted by the process of finding guests.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, Carl Chandler?
Yeah.
He always looks guilty. He's like, oh, look, I hate to do this. Yeah. Can you come on my podcast? Yeah.
Well, they're doing two episodes a week as well. So it's a lot.
Exactly. And I just thought, if I ever have one, I'd never want to have that pressure. So I thought, I'll just do everything myself.
And so for people that I know, it's like a late night talk radio show that you'd hear on 3AW or overnights. Yeah. And my 13-year-old son, when we drive down the beach, we listen to it because he loves the muckbanger guy. Who's that cargo pants man?
Well, that was just based on a clip I saw on the Daily Mail of a bloke who was wearing some cargo shorts at a footy game in Brisbane, and he did that thing of yelling something out. He yelled out the C word during the minute silence on the Anzac Day game, and a bloke behind just punched him in the head and then punched him in the head again, and then the guy fell into some seats and he got up. And it's a pretty funny bit of footage, and I watched it about 10 times. It wasn't until the 10th time I watched it I noticed that when he gets punched the first time, he doesn't spill his beer.
Oh, wow.
So I just thought, I'll have him call in and claim that he's not getting enough credit for not spilling his beer.
And just going back to you're doing characters, and that's something that we don't hear a lot anymore, because I remember when I was a young person, I'd listen to the D-Gen and Wayne from St. Albans would ring up, which was Santo.
Yeah.
And I used to love those phone-in characters. It just used to make me laugh.
As I always say to the young people, they're starved for make-believe.
And you can see with my kids, they just they light up when there's like a character on the radio.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah, and because there's lots of people out there talking, lots of great stand-up, but in my day, there was a lot of characters. Mm. You know, the Con Marasco and all that clan, and I started out doing characters. And,
well, the thing is, I love, you know, the characters are all improvised. Like, I think of a few jokes beforehand, but I never say anything out loud until it's recording, so because I want it to sound as natural as possible. And if the thing about impro is that it goes on and on. It's usually you go on too long.
Yes.
But talkback is perfect for that. People going on about something too long is the basis of talkback radio. And I do this thing where I'll drive up to my local shops, and it's a five-minute drive, and I'll put on 3AW, and I challenge myself to, in that 5 minutes, find something that I can use on Sizzletown.
Yeah. Right.
And it never fails. And I remember one weekend I was driving up there, and there was a guy, and the talkback topic was, call us in with something that used to be cheaper in the old days. You go, hang on, isn't that everything?
But you know, you know what? The ABC during the day on the weekend sometimes do go into that territory, because John Safran used to be obsessed by a certain announcer who would just do these lame topics, and he texted me, guess what they're talking about today? I'm like, what? When have you gone for a walk and ended up somewhere where you didn't expect?
That's perfect. Well, the one where that I heard call in with something that was cheaper in the old days, a guy calls in and he goes, I remember when you used to be able to get two potato cakes for 20 cents. And then a second voice off mic corrected him, and he goes, sorry, three potato cakes. And so I just then had a character who just was obsessed with potato cakes, calling in and wedging potato cakes into every conversation.
Oh, love it. And we want to talk about Bill Clinton, because that's why we're calling you.
Yeah, Bill Clinton and Mambo Number 5. We don't want the answer, but
because you do a great Bill Clinton. I mean, I remember you doing, and I saw you do Woody Allen, which was great on Mad as Hell the other night. So you can do a few impressions.
Tony Martin is the man that people copy when they want to do him, because he Tony Martin is the man who cracks the code, and then a lot of people go, it's like with Eric Banner with Chopper. He cracked the code.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but my thing is to try and do people that no one else is doing. Yeah. So like on Sizzletown, I do William Friedkin, the director of The Exorcist.
Yeah.
I do Jeff Goldblum and Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
And Jason Statham, because I go, I've never heard anyone do them. And in the old days when we did The Late Show, no one was doing Arnold Schwarzenegger at all. Like, I think Alexei Sale had done a visual, you know, had dressed up as him but hadn't done the voice. And Robert De Niro, I'd never heard anyone do Robert De Niro. And these are now cliches.
Yeah.
Like, my postman does Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, if it's cold, my postman will go, a freeze is coming. it's very, you know, I remember when no one did Christopher Walken, and then suddenly everyone was doing Christopher Walken. So you've got to get in quick with them. But Bill Clinton was, Rob Sitch actually used to do Bill Clinton on The Late Show. And I hadn't heard Bill Clinton for years. And I don't think I'm actually doing Bill Clinton on Sizzletown. I'm doing the version of him that Clive Owen plays on that show Impeachment, because my girlfriend was watching Impeachment, and it was just on in the background. And I kept hearing Clive Owen, who's a British actor.
Yeah, he's great.
Bunging on this Clinton voice. So I just thought, you know, no one's done a Clinton impression for 30 years. Why not just drag it out for a weird, you know, phone in?
Well, can you do some? Like, how do you, what's the secret to doing?
Yeah, what's the key?
Well, it's hard because Bill Clinton's quite old now, so you've got to get that sort of crackly sort of tone in your voice. And I had him, I think I had him saying something like, yeah, I'm on Cameo.
That's right.
Guys will send me in a photograph of their girlfriend, and I have to hold it up and say, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. But it's not Bill Clinton, it's Clive Owen as Bill Clinton.
Yeah, but that's like, you know, the guy does Chopper, Heath Franklin. He says he does Eric Banner's Chopper.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah. That is very true. Yeah. Here's a weird thing about that, Heath Franklin. Do you remember a few years ago that Heath Franklin was doing Chopper, I think at the Forum at the Comedy Festival, to 1,000 people a night? The real Chopper Reed was round the corner in a small theatre playing to 80 people.
No. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, but if you saw the actual Chopper speak, Heath was a lot funnier than Chopper, unfortunately.
What did the real Chopper do? I remember he was on tour at one point with
Jacko.
Remember it was that crazy lineup? It was like Warwick Capper and
Roger Rogerson. Roger Rogerson.
Yes. And Mark Jacko Jackson, yes. And Chopper Reed. That is like the I feel like I dreamt that, but that really happened, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, this is awful, Tony.
What did Chopper do? What was his act?
Oh, he would just give
tell
a little
stories, yeah.
Give a little talk, but yeah, I don't think it was that great. I don't think. I mean, he was starting to get really sick and stuff. Yeah. You know,
Know,
this is a great fact that he, because his kid went to the primary school down the road from my kid's primary school, his kid used to be in the little athletics at the Collingwood track, and this is true. You can Google it. Chopper was banned from firing the starting pistol. Because they gave him the job of firing the starting pistol.
That's great. Well, here's another trivia fact. I mentioned my girlfriend. She's a book editor. She actually edited Chopper's second-to-last book.
Wow.
Well,
and
good gig.
I remember her saying to the publisher, look, I'm not going to – I've heard what he's like. I'm not going to do it unless he's got a ghostwriter. And they go, no, he's got a ghostwriter. And then it turns out the ghostwriter was Chopper's girlfriend.
Yeah, of course.
And so there was just a pile of stories arrived, and they were mostly like just grudges he had with people. This guy owes me $200. And she had to shape it into a book. She basically had to write the book and did not get thanked in the acknowledgement.
Chop.
And one day we're driving up Johnson Street, Collingwood, and we're at the lights, and we're at the front, and we see Chopper Reed shuffling over, and I've said to her, do you want to ask Chopper why he didn't get your thank you? And she goes, no, I might not.
Not a good
time.
Now, Tony, I know this is cliched, but have you got a favourite impersonation that you'd like to do, or a character? That I know it sounds very 3AW, but rather than saying, could you do one of these, or could you do a bit of – I would love to hear a bit of Woody Allen, by the way. But have you got a favourite?
Well, at the moment, I do like being Jason Statham, who I've just got him talking like this and just saying, I don't know why I don't get more serious roles.
Yeah, you do him on Nova sometimes too on the radio. It's very funny, Jason Statham.
Yeah, I just I always have him just complaining that he's not getting Shakespeare offered. You know, I could do Richard III. You know, a horse. Where's me fucking horse? So I just walk around the house as him. Although, as Sam Pang says, I think it's more Ray Winston than...
Yes, it's one of those British gangsters.
But you know... Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Oh, well, Tony...
My problem is with voices is I can sort of do voices, but I never know where they're from. Whereas Sean McAuliffe, he'll tell you which is a Yorkshire accent and which is a... You know, I just never quite know where the... accents are from. I just have them in my head.
Well, as we often say to you, Tony, you are a highly intelligent man, and you say, no, I just know a lot about film and TV. And I'm not agreeing with that, but that's...
Well, I do. I remember seeing an interview with Woody Allen once, and he's someone who also, like me, wears glasses, but didn't go to... we have no education to speak of. But he said, it's like I know a lot about one thing. It's like knowing all the words in the dictionary that begin with A,
yeah.
But none of the other words. As long as you have a conversation with A words, you sound like the world's smartest person.
It's true.
And what's great about Tony Martin being out there is that, to me, Tony Martin is like the police. If you do something that's not, not that you attack people, but you know everything. You know more about my career than I know about my career. And Tony can tell me things that, and I did this and I did. I have no recollection of that.
Yeah, can't remember.
Yeah, I can remember when Glenn was in Special Squad. I remember all kinds of things. But
exactly, I have no recollection of that. Anyway.
What Special Squad?
I don't know what that is.
Special Squad was like a kind of a local version of Miami Vice. Is that, I don't know. It was a cop show from the 80s.
Yeah. Do you remember
that? Glenn,
no, I don't. No recollection.
I'm amazed on this podcast. What you need to do, Dave, is you need to, before one of these podcasts, you need to go and print out Glenn's IMDb page. Because keep in mind, I've sent a lot of that stuff in.
Yes.
And it's amazing that you were in Prisoner.
Yeah.
Oh, we know about that. You got shot in Prisoner.
Yeah. Flying Doctors.
There's loads of stuff. But in terms of being the policeman, I always, you know, Glenn often says that to me, but I always say, if I'm the policeman, I'm very much the deputy policeman to our good friend Russell Gilbert.
Yes, no, he's very good too.
Who was always, I think I've mentioned this before, but I remember being at a stand-up gig at the Botanical Hotel and someone was on stage doing some, what was apparently stolen material, and I just heard Russell Gilbert's voice from the back of the room go, Shandling!
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Gary Shandling. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, Gilbo had a huge collection of vinyl stand-up albums.
Well, Tony, we have to go. So thanks very much for your contribution. And everyone listen to Sizzletown.
Even
podcast.
Though we said we didn't want to, an answer. Do you have any... connection between Bill Clinton and Mambo 5?
See, I love this show, and every time I see the premise, I try and work out how I would do it, and it's a monstrously challenging task you've set yourselves, I feel.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant idea. I really do think this is a fantastic idea for a podcast.
Great. Well,
thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks.
Well, good luck.
Thanks, Woody.
There. You can get there.
Thanks, Woody. Thanks.
Cheers. Yeah, but of course.
There he goes. Oh, he's so great, Tony Martin.
He's
so
the
great.
Man. The king. I remember seeing him on the Late Show was the first time I saw him.
Mm.
And one of those guys who just wanted to get to know.
Get to know him. Yeah. And you got to know him well. He directed you in TV shows.
I haven't performed that much with Tony.
No.
As in directly. I don't think I've done anything with Tony.
I used to go on Martin Malloy a fair bit. I was like
and I've been
guy.
On his podcast. It was fantastic. What was the podcast? Oh, God. He used to do it with Ed Cavalier.
Oh, the A-team. Team.
I don't know what they still do. And Ross Noble was in that too.
Oh, yeah. And Ash Williams. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It's very good. So, what are we going to do now?
Thinking music. Well...
We can't have member number five. We don't have. Bump, we're not allowed bump, to. We bump, could have you bump, singing bump, it for 30 bump, seconds.
Bump.
But maybe.
Maybe not. Maybe why don't we have Bill playing the saxophone?
Bill playing he played it on Arsenio Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I think he played it at some sort of White House congressional.
White House function.
White House. Oh, this is a good gig. Imagine that. Mm. Bill will get you up to.
To play some saxophone there, Bill.
Yeah,
great.
I love you for it.
I love you for it. All right, well, let's hear a bit of
just
Bill.
Just a little bit of it. So, you know.
Bill on the sax.
You judge.
Yeah.
Was it a good idea or not?
Here we go. He's not bad on the sax.
You reckon?
As someone who played the oboe at high school, he sounds all right.
Good friend of mine, showbiz story.
Right.
Good friend
Wilbur
of mine, Wilbur Wild.
Yeah, sax player.
Got up with...
the singer play the sax with another famous sax player.
No, he was asked to come on stage with...
Bruce Springsteen?
No.
Frankie J. Holden?
No, the guy who played the guitar really well. And
I know who you mean. You're having a noble moment.
Yes.
You mean there was Nathan Cavalieri?
No.
And then he used to play with the older guy. Not the brothers.
No, it was back in the the 80s.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Oh, we've got to look it up.
Yeah, I know who you mean. It's
Dire Straits.
Oh, my God, Mark Knopfler.
Mark Knopfler.
You got it.
Yeah, I got it. I didn't even look at my phone. I didn't really. Martin Offer, apparently, and apologies, Wilbur, if you're listening, they got him up and I think I got the story right. He got a bigger applause than
Mark Knopfler.
And then they didn't get him back.
Hey, man, don't get that bloody sax player back, man.
Yeah.
He's too popular.
Yeah.
You know?
What was his famous guitar riff for Mark Knopfler?
There was I Want My MTV.
And there was the one that they used in the movie. And
Money for Nothing, You Get Your Chicks for Free.
Yeah.
And there's Sultan's
a
Swing. Dancing by the Pool.
I can't remember what it was.
And also he did the great... I'm not a huge Dire Straits fan, but I loved his soundtrack. We've talked about this before on Local Hero.
Well, that was the one I was trying to get. Very evocative.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's a great soundtrack.
Anyway. So
well, there we go.
So I know. So now we go with an answer.
You've got to have a guess. John, you go first because I actually know. I reckon I know this one.
I reckon some people here have used musical tracks for their election for their campaign, they pick a song. And I know Trump picked one, and the people
Born in the USA.
And Bruce Springsteen said, "Thanks, but no thanks."
Don't use that, mate. Oh, maybe, maybe that was Bush that used that. One of them.
I reckon.
Said, don't use that.
Maybe it was Bush. I reckon Mambo No. 5 was his election song that he played at his when the bus had turned up.
Wow.
At a convention. He'd walk on to Mambo No. 5.
Bump. I think you're almost correct. All I remember reading about Mambo No. 5, because I'm such a big fan of that song, is that the reason it became such a big hit in America was because it had the line, a little bit of Monica in my life and a little bit of Rachel by my side. So it mentions, it uses the name Monica, and it was like a year after the Bill Clinton controversy.
Someone realized, so he was using it, you reckon?
I have a vague memory of them using it at something.
And then someone's tapped him on the shoulder.
But apparently that's one of the reasons it was a big hit in America, because all the DJs love playing it. They're making comments after it, you know, like, a bit of Monica. We all want a bit of Monica in our life there, Bill, don't we? But I think roughly we may have the answer. I don't know. Sam, what is the answer?
You're both right. The track was used by President Bill Clinton Democratic Party in the year 2000 as part of their marketing materials. It was played times when he would walk on stage. Things got a bit awkward when somebody noticed the lyrics included a reference to a woman named Monica.
So, Glenn, you were right.
No, you were right.
Well, we were both right.
We were both right. And I've got to say, it's been quite some time. I don't think we get it right.
We rarely get it right.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
This goes to show that you can still have fun even if you don't get it right.
Yeah.
Because when I watch Spicks and Specks, or watch all the quiz shows on TV, our favourite is the repeats of Spicks and Specks.
Oh, well, of course.
I reckon I get one question about... Well, I get some of the jazz questions.
Oh, wow. Jazz.
Yeah. But I reckon I get one answer per...
Episode?
Per month. Four episodes. And they look, I'll be honest, they did ask me to come on, and I don't really embarrass myself. But from what I'm told...
Nah, you'll be fine. Hamish doesn't know anything about music.
Yeah, and he used to do it
all the time.
Did they load up, do you reckon? Did they slip slip one in there for him? I reckon they do with the album part at the start. I reckon they lobbed to someone's forehead.
Oh, they do.
You got it. Absolutely, I mean, yeah, you have to, because otherwise people might go quiet.
Well, if you're sitting with a country music star, they're going to do country music. Oh, yeah, they do that. But they, in all my years on that show, they've never told me anything. Like anything.
So if I was to say to them, I want a couple of questions, they would have gone nuts.
Well, on other shows I've been on, like Good News Week,
they used to set up for the joke.
Yeah, but then again, they didn't. I always thought the team captains knew more than anyone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they'd go on routines and stuff about, you know, say Bill Clinton. And like,
hang on, I think you know something.
Yeah, I think you know something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
And but, like this show. It's,
we don't know.
It's pure organic. It amazes me how we can talk for so long about something we don't know anything about.
We don't know anything.
You know when Greg Norman won the British Open?
Okay, sure.
Do you know what he said?
No.
I was in awe of myself. It's true. I was in awe of myself. Well, interview
that,
over.
I prefer that Queensland Bogan who won it. What's his name? He was great. He, with the
Cam
mullet.
Smith?
Yeah, he just goes, oh, yeah, I was powered by 4X. Isn't that what he said? Or something
did
like
he?
That?
I something thought
like
he spoke that. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I saw the other day that he'd got his hair cut really short on the side, and then they've cut Oz into the side of his head.
Oh, God.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But he spoke well. And he's got the dilemma now of whether or not he, you know, here's something. He's been offered there's a new tour, a breakaway tour called the Live Tour,
the Saudi Arabian one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And some are saying it's not
PC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Greg Norman's running it.
Yeah. Speaking of Greg Norman, he likes to get his shirt off a lot too. But anyway, here's the thing: you've just won the British Open, and I'm going to offer you $150 million just to sign on
for the Saudi Arabian thing.
Yeah. 150.
Wow.
So there's a for you. For, well,
that's a dilemma.
Well, your new caravan, you'd get a jet ski, you'd buy
a country for that.
You'd get your own helicopter. You hear Dave turning up to gigs now in a helicopter.
Really?
Imagine, that would be good. You could have your own helicopter and helicopter pilot just waiting for you. You could chopper in here to the car park, run on, do your gig, get back out and get Chop It home.
That's really interesting because when I went on that show that's hosted by Annabelle Crabb this year on ABC called Tomorrow Tonight, and that was the dilemma. It said, Dave, you've been offered a gig. It's like $1 million. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. They're like, it's for the Saudi Arabian prince. Oh, and so you still want to do it? I'm like, oh, yeah. And they're like, but what about all those human rights? I went, and said, no, it was to do a gig at his wedding for the Saudi Arabian prince. To do a gig at his wedding.
See,
I said, I'd do it, but no selfies, yeah?
Just don't do it. Yeah, see, a friend of mine made a good argument. He said, and I can't name the companies, but see, like certain sporting companies use their money inappropriately to get their goods from third world countries.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, the profits they made are questionable and they are supplying money. Shit, we're getting political.
Yeah.
The show is everything. He's going, you know, you've got to question the money everywhere. A little. I'm not saying he should do the live thing, but it's a tough ask.
I've got to do a gig for North Korea. So I'm pretty busy, Glenn.
Text on my phone saying, would you like to bring somewhere related over to
the United Arab Emirates?
Yeah,
or the
and
Saudi
we
Arabia?
Would have to record the show. We can record here.
Yeah.
Oh, have a look how much there are.
Whew! Let's go.
$650.
Oh, no, thanks.